I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the Legend Rouge Cycling Podcast. Back-to-back recordings. Now the Tour de France Femme avec Zwift 2023 route reaction. We saw Marion Rousse and Prudhomme unveil it on Thursday a couple of days ago in Paris. And we have 8 stages. I thought they were trying to add a couple more. I thought there were whisperings of that already. They went to 8 stages in their first year. They got an exemption from ASO for that. Maybe they were just happy with the 8 stages. I don't know. But, Benji, where does it start from and finish? Because it doesn't start in Paris this year, which it did on the Champs-Élysées last year.
Exactly. It does start on the same day as the Champs-Élysées stage of the Tour de France. I just checked, which is kind of... I don't know, I was maybe expecting it to be a day later, knowing it's not in the same place, but it is on the same day. It starts in central France, Clermont-Ferrand. We know the TGV from Clermont-Ferrand is from there, but this time the Tour de France starts there, and it works its way down in France, basically, towards the Pyrenees, where it all capitalizes in the last weekend of this race. So that's what we're looking at when it comes to the order of things. In total, 4 sprint stages, which is great for the likes of Abibis and so forth, but some are a bit more versatile than just a pure sprint stage. There's 2 hilly stages, 1 major mountain stage, and 1 time trial, and we'll talk about them one by one in this, but do you think that's a good division, and do you think that we've got a parkour that starts off with the flatter and hilly parkours and ends with that more brutal end weekend that will have a big impact on GC, just like in the Tour de France from 2022, where it was also a backloaded parkour? Are you still of the opinion that that's a good idea for women's cycling?
I think so, yeah, because if you put the Tourmalet stage at the start, well, I don't know. It's tough because SD Works kind of gave up on GC before the GC stages last year. So what does it matter? Like, they had the gravel stage. They had Van Vleuten sick. They had Van Vleuten dropped on those punchy stages, and they just kind of faffed about and didn't have a clear plan for GC whatsoever. So I don't know. Like, I think on balance, yes, it's good to have the GC stages in the last couple of stages. Maybe Van Vleuten has some bad luck. It then allows her she has to go long, although she probably will anyway on the final week. But yeah, the worst thing that could happen is you have Tourmalet stage 2. She takes, you know, 3-4 minutes and the race is completely done. There's no even illusion of SD Works trying to fight. I had a meeting with ASO catch up, and you know, they're saying big logistical challenge having 2 races on at the same time in 2 different locations, because you know, obviously Champs-Élysées circuit's the same closed off circuits last year, or this year rather, so that'll be interesting to see. It'll be before the men's race course. The men's race finishes at, you know, 10 o'clock every night, so this will still be beforehand. But just a note on Zwift, I'd encourage you, maybe if you want to be familiar with how the Tour de France Femme played out, avec Zwift, go and check out the highlight videos on the Lantern Rouge YouTube channel. But this isn't the only year that Zwift is supporting the Tour de France Femme, or indeed women's cycling, and they're now the named sponsor of Paris-Roubaix Femme avec Zwift as well. So it's another, I think, at least 2 years that Zwift are supporting the race. So I guess I'd like to take another opportunity to thank everyone who tuned into the podcast recaps or this recap and supported the race and women's cycling. If you'd like to support Zwift particularly, it's getting single digits every morning where I am now, and you want to give easy, accessible indoor riding a go, head to Zwift.com for your free 7-day trial. And you can even do, a la Benji, a ramp test to assess your fitness levels and get started and do training on Zwift as well. Anyway, stage one, Benji, Clermont-Ferrand. What do you reckon this is? 124Ks, 1.7Ks, 7.2%, 12Ks from the finish. The big question is, does Lorena Vivas get dropped on that climb and stay behind?
That is a very, very good question, my friend, my favorite kangaroo. And I think it's going to be a close one. A rather versatile sprint, I'd argue, because of that hill. We see that Côte de Dutrolle is 1.7K, 7.2%. And we see that the first and the last part of that climb is the steepest. The middle part is a bit like 5%. So I'd argue that it's going to be on the edge. I think the pure sprinters will be at the back of the peloton at least. And some might be off the back after this climb, but it will also depend on what the other teams will do. But it's a Tour de France fun. If riders like Leona Lipet and so forth, Nivia Doma, see a climb like this on stage one, they might as well try something to get over this climb and be in a smaller group, because otherwise they're not using the parkour of the stage. And considering it's a Tour de France fun, I'm guessing that punchers are going to try and get away here. And perhaps the teams that have more versatile sprinters, like a Voss, for example, at Jumbo, would want this to be harder. A Balsamo would want this to be slightly harder to drop a Wibbs. But when it comes to an SD Works, it becomes difficult, eh? Kopecky or Wibbs? Kopecky can't win against Balsamo and Voss most of the time. So I'd argue that Wibbs trying to get her over the climb is the better option. Do you agree?
So it's the LFR profile says it's 1.9K, 7.1%. So that's another 200 meters. It's still a short climb. Let's say they do it in 4.5, 5 minutes. Let's say 5 minutes. They're probably a bit less than that. Vibas loses 20 seconds, 25 seconds. She really shouldn't lose more than that. If she enters the climb in good position at the front, she slides back, does her own pace. So that's 30 seconds. Then we have 12Ks to the finish. No, it's not. It's 9Ks. Can Kopecky, Reusser, and co. bring her back against maybe Van Dijk pacing for Balsamo? How will her legs be after they bring her back? I think they should still go for Vibas because, as you said, what's the percentage chance of Kopecky winning the sprint?
You can do both. You can have Kopecky ahead.
That's probably the option. That's what Quickstep have done with Seneschal in the... They would do that with Seneschal when he was with Jakobsen sometimes, I think.
Yeah, I think so as well. And if you have Kopecky ahead, you need Vollering ahead for GC. So that's two riders you don't have up there. I think you've only got six riders in this rave, if my memory serves me right. So with Wibbs behind, you still have... You might want the next round Domestique with the two ahead. So I think you have two riders at least as Domestique for Wibbs behind if you do that strategy. So I think that's a viable option you can try. And if Wibbs gets there, she gets there. If she doesn't, she doesn't. So it's an attempt you can go for. But I'd argue that far out prediction, Balsamo for this one. You have a far out prediction for the stage?
Yeah, Balsamo is probably quick. Oh, is she quicker than Voss? You got a better lead out than Voss, maybe.
I think she's better.
Yeah, she probably is quicker on balance. I'm going with Persico's not as fast. She's on UAE right now. Did she move? And Lipet's on...
Consoni. Is she versatile? I don't actually know if she's that versatile.
Yeah. Like, I really think people shouldn't be getting dropped too much. 1,000 meters elevation across the whole stage. I'm going to have to get used to all the transfers because Lipet's on Movistar. Vibas is on, not on DSM. If Vibas is on DSM, I'd almost be more confident.
Yeah,
because entire team, apart from Lipet, like Florci Mackay, Pfeiffer Georgie, would all like their job is to get her over and bring it back. So, yeah, with SD Works, a little bit mixed. Anyway, stage two, 150.5Ks, quite long. 2.5K elevation gain, although it's sort of medium mountain for a lot of it. It's rolly. There's not much flat here. It even starts out of neutral with like a 3 kilometer climb, but it's sort of 2Ks, 5%, 4Ks, 6% the order of the day. The finish is 2.8Ks, 6%, and that crests 2Ks from the finish, and then it's like Amstel Gold this. A bit longer, though. Then it's like an up and down finish in Mauriac, from Clermont-Ferrand. I'll tell you what's going to happen right now, Benji. Liana Lippert or Kasia Nuviadoma attack on that climb. They get to the flat bit. Longable Guineas on their wheel. They get brought back. Voss wins.
I'm also leaning towards something like that. We've seen Cecilia Trapludwig also have better uphill kicks lately. We saw her win a stage like that in Tour de France Femme 2022, for example. I think those are the kind of things we're looking for. Looking at the parkour beforehand, 45 kilometers before the line, there's that kick of like 4.5, get 5.5%, but that's too far, I think, to make any major things happen. So I'm also leaning towards the last part of this race, that final hill to be the deciding factor of the victory of this race. And I'm also leaning towards Marianne Vos being the one that takes it home. It looks from the profile, I don't have an in-depth profile of the climb itself, but it looks that the first half of that Côte de Trébiac is steeper than the second half of that climb, which means that the punchers that you mentioned would be going on the first part of the climb, while the rest would be trying to use the flatter section near the top to their advantage, hoping that the cooperation and the people that attack ahead, that ruins it a bit. You have anything more to say on this stage, or is that just Marianne Vos, Marianne Vos, Marianne Vos?
Vos or Persico, I think. Okay. Vos or Persico.
Kopecky?
I mean, which Kopecky? Because Strada Bianca Flanders Kopecky, of course, but she wasn't in that shape later in the year. I mean, she's young. I assume she'll get back there, whether she just, or maybe she'll peak for classics again. I don't know. I think in terms of GC, though, this reminds me of the, Côte de Fossil Loop. If you want to see a very similar finish where it's steeper at the start and then levels off, or want to watch, say, Amstel Gold, Tour de France Femme, Avec Zwift stage, No, it was La Course then. La Course 21 or Amstel 21 or 22, where, again, Vos came back. Anyway, stage three, Benji.
Yes, it starts in your garden, Collonges-la-Rouge to Montignac-Lascaux. We've got 147 kilometers, and it's basically hilly throughout the parkour, but nothing crazy enough to really shout at me, all the sprinters are getting dropped. That's not what I'm seeing on this parkour either. So I'd argue that it's most likely going to be a pure sprint, this one. I see that as the most likely thing. But before I throw it at you, I want to ask you a question. Like, we've seen stage one, two, and three, flatter parkours with some hills and so forth. We never talk about breakaways in these previews when it comes to the Tour de France Femme. We never really often see a breakaway making it in women's cycling. There's like a few that make it throughout the season. I think we obviously saw Kiesenhofer in Olympics, for example. We've seen the likes of Rianne Marcus do so in Tour of Norway 2 years ago or 1 year and a half ago, whatever, when DSM was messing up all their sprint trains. They didn't catch a breakaway every time in that ladies' Tour of Norway. But I feel like in the Tour de France from, it's unlikely for a breakaway to win, right?
Well, strong riders don't lose time on GC in these first two stages, at least not enough. And because you don't have the mountain stages before, it's like Grace Brown's going to get cooked on the Tourmalet, right? Or should she? She can probably still top 10 the race, but she can't win. Yep. So should she lose more time? Because in a breakaway, like her or Chapman's going to Trek, isn't she? You know, they'd be very strong. I think Chapman will be in the Tour in the Trek team for this race. I agree. I sort of think strong teams should target it, because who's going to win this stage if it's just, if everyone just cruises around? Vibas guaranteed. Yep. So, like, every other team should really be thinking of a completely different strategy or going hard as in the first, in that 50K rolling block in the middle to cook Vibas.
Yeah, I think so too. And the thing with breakaways as well is that not only is the factor of like people should lose time to make sure they can get into the breakaway and so forth, I feel there's also an aspect to it where so many people will be so close to the yellow jersey that they will take every opportunity they have to try and make sure it's controlled. And Wibbers might not have had the first perfect two stages for a sprint. The first one's a bit versatile. The second one's a hilly parkour. So the third one might be the most pure sprint we had so far. So DSM might be focusing all out on making sure a break doesn't win this one especially. So I feel like with every stage, there's so many teams that will be in the peloton willing to get something out of it that it's very unlikely that a breakaway can make it on these stages. Do you think that there's a stage opportunity, for example, on day four? Because like I'm agreeing with you, like if this goes to the line, Wibbers wins. If it doesn't go to the line, well, I don't see much on the parkour that can change it on day three. But stage four is different, right?
178.5 k's, very long. Is this the longest stage in the race? It's got 2.5 k elevation, yes. But a lot of that occurs in the last 35 kilometers. It's pretty flat before then. Just one, a couple of sort of 4% climbs that are 10 minutes or less. But yeah, this is like Liège. It's very similar to Liège. Maybe a little bit less difficult compared to Rochefoucauld, but it's pretty hard, this finish, and it's uphill too. We have 6.7 k's, 4%, and then descent, 4.5 k's, 5.5%, descent, 2.1 k's, 7%. That is the hardest probably climb, and then it's these little punchy climbs to finish. There's a 500 meter, 10% ramp to the finish, 500 meters, 10% to Rodez. This could go to a number of different riders. It could be Cavalli. Could be Vos, mm-hmm. Could be Ludwig, could be Persico, could be Lippert, Van Vleuten. If she went long, I don't think she will.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Van Vleuten is superior on the 500 meter 10% yeah. punch.
She doesn't need to either. She just needs to wait for mountain stages.
So I think, who did I say? Which one of those riders did I say? Lippert, Vos. I had one that I wanted to pick. Cavalli. I think Cavalli wins this. FDJ should go all in for her.
I think that's a very good pick for this one. Small note, you mentioned this is the longest stage of the race. It's also the longest race of most riders in their career. I think every single rider in the peloton, most likely, because last year we mentioned in the Tour de France 2022, there was a stage of 175 kilometers, which was the longest of Mariano Voss's career. This is 177, so this is the longest of, I'm fairly certain, at least 99.9% of the peloton. So to add the difficulty of those hills to it, I'm intrigued to see if that will have a factor or not. I'm not necessarily certain that length of the stage will matter, but I do think it's a very enticing parkour. I'm seeing GC riders plus punchers going for it, and I agree with the names you mentioned. I see no real opportunity to go super far for Van Vleuten, and she might try nonetheless, but I don't think she should because, like we mentioned, mountain stages come up where she is on paper the strongest. This is where the opponent should try and make it difficult for her, but there's a switch with SD-Works, right? Follering is now the solo leader of SD-Works, I would say, GC, instead of Follering plus Molman. Does that make it more difficult for teams to roll attacks on her, knowing that she knows every team only has one leader, I think?
No, right? Lippert and Van Vleuten.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, yeah, but that's her team.
Oh, yeah, well, that's right. And is that a good strategy? And it puts Lippert in a seat? Because Lippert's problem has always been she has to initiate. She never is in a seat and then gets to sprint uphill. Does Van Vleuten going long on that 7% climb help Lippert? Or should she just, Van Vleuten, lock down the stage and lead out Lippert? I'd love to see Lippert with the lead out on this sort of finish. I think she might get the job done. Sierra, yeah, they got a... Damn, their team's pretty good.
Yeah.
SD-Works, who will they have? Reusser, Vollering, Capecchi, Wiebes, Majerus,
Fisher-Black.
Fisher-Black probably take a step up, and she might be able to shut it down. Trek is still very, very strong. I don't know. I don't think Vollering being clear leader makes actually anything much easier for her than the dysfunctional co-leadership, to be honest. Breakaway, do you reckon, or not?
Nah. Maybe like if a Brown goes from far and we don't see, and we see a group behind them of like leaders, then there's an opportunity for that. I think there's an opportunity for like a 10K attack of Grayce Brown to actually make it on a stage like this. So that kind of option is there, but an original early breakaway, that's not in the cards for me. I think there's too many people with stakes in the stage for that to occur. But I'm also leaning towards stage five, where it's once again a rather versatile sprint stage. Onela Chateau to Albi. This is 126 kilometers. It has hills throughout, from the middle section towards like 15K to go. Those are where the hills are. It's four of them, but there's a lot of false flat sections in between. We're talking about 800 meters at 8.1%, 2.1 kilometers at 7.4%, 1.5 at 9%, 1.6 at 6.4%. These are not necessarily the climbs where you say, okay, everybody's going to drop. But if you go hard on every single one, Wibbs might get in trouble. Do you think this will be a pure sprint with Wibbs, or do you think that teams like Trek and Sofov will try and benefit from the difficulties to try and make it more leaning towards a rider in their team, for example? But do you think that their focus on potentially getting a podium with Longo Borghini might reduce the chances of them spending enough riders to make it hard? I don't think so.
I think Kiesenhofer wins this stage. Starts uphill, rolling plateau for the first 30Ks, then a difficult stage to control.
They've got comms.
Pardon?
They've got comms in this race.
which is the one she nearly won a stage of the Vuelta? Had comms there.
Serrat, is it, I think?
Yeah, the Vuelta. Sure. She got caught in the last K, and that had it finished with a hill. I think this is a difficult stage to control. SD Works won't be able to go fast because they have to nurse Wibbs around the course. I question, as you said, Trek, they might already have a stage win with Balsamo. They might just have Longo Borghini for GC. Of course, Balsamo you could go for as the favorite for the stage. Jumbo Visma might be the ones who pace for Voss all day if they haven't won a stage with her yet. But I think the break is a really, really good opportunity here. I'd be really, really disappointed to see a break of like three riders who are just there for, you know, exposure. I think this is a really good chance.
Will Kiesenhofer even be at the start here? Because she had like one random Conti team to be at Serrat, is it? I think that's going to be the reason that she might not be at this race in the first place.
It's worth, like, if you're whatever team, a lot of teams went to the Tour de France Femmes avec Zwift. Like, it was too many, right? It was like 20 RKM. Plus. Yeah, give her a... I think you have to be... I don't think a World Tour team can give her like a 10-day contract. I think she can... It'd have to be one of the Conti teams. But like Saint-Michel or Burr, right? Like, Kiesenhofer's your best chance of winning a stage in the breakaway. Like, she knows what she's doing. She target a stage like this. I think I hope this is a breakaway. I hope it's at least close, because what I don't want to see is the last 25Ks no break peloton just cruising in. That would be, I think, a bit of a shame. That's stage five. So. Maybe it's just Wibbs winning. Anyway, stage six, Wibbs. This has got to be the one. 124.5Ks. It has only 1160 meters of climbing. From Albi to Blagnac. It does have four categorized climbs, but the last one is 40Ks from the finish. There's no way Trek are going to invest.
Yeah.
This is Wibbs winning, has to be this stage.
Yeah, on paper, she's the favorite for certain. The likes of a Consonni and so forth and a Balsamo will be fighting her for this stage. So pure sprint then. Firmly agree with what you've said, but these are the running stages so far. Six stages, of which two are pure hill stages, two are versatile sprint stages, two are most likely pure sprint stages. So far, a relaxed run-in. We mentioned it at the start. This is a backloaded race to make sure that Van Vleuten is not in yellow from day one. And then we see that stage seven has the Col du Tourmalet as finish. It's 90 kilometers long. Tourmalet not as the only climb, because after a good 55 kilometers in the race, we start the second last climb, the Col d'Aspin, 12 kilometers at 6.5%. It descends towards the foot of the Tourmalet, no real valley in between. And then we start the climb, 17 kilometers, 7.3% is the official ASO profile of this climb. And we saw last year a mountain stage on day seven that had major climbs, but they already started very early on in the race. The benefit here is that the climb d'Aspin starts halfway the race, which means that it's more likely that we actually see what's happening in the race on TV. Because last year, in 2022, we did not have that because the action happened before the broadcast. That's one major benefit of this parkour, that's for certain. With the Tourmalet being such a heroic climb, a legendary climb in the Tour de France, I love that it is in the Tour de France Femmes this year. And for me, this is an amazing stage. And my take on this one is simple. Col d'Aspin, race explodes. Van Vleuten, Vollering, Cavalli fighting against each other. And they fight it out on the top of d'Aspin and the Tourmalet itself. That's how I see this.
I don't think Van Vleuten will go on Aspin.
Ooh.
Because what was stage 7 this year? It was the Petit Ballon Plaza Varsel combination.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a, it was an uphill finish. The hardest climbs weren't the last climb. Whereas this is like
Tourmalet.
Yeah. Tourmalet is the hardest climb. It's the finishing climb. There's the descent off Aspin. There's the first 4.5Ks, 5Ks of Tourmalet are only like 4%, 3% average. And then it's really the last part. So if I was Van Vleuten, I would have Aspin paced by Lippert or somebody like that. Keep team around her. I mean, to be honest, if you're thinking like completely unnecessary strategies, because you can just drop everyone anyway, you'd have Sierra in the breakaway and try and have her as a satellite rider to pace the early slopes of
Tourmalet. It's not necessary, mate.
It's not necessary, but I want Van Vleuten to like completely annihilate the QOM on Tourmalet. I want to see her do peak watts per kilo. So someone's going to have to pace those early slopes for her. So yeah, I think she goes on Tourmalet about 8Ks in, and okay. Then maybe Vollering and Cavalli hold her wheel for a couple of Ks, 3Ks, but they drop by the 12th K.
Okay, my take is a bit different. I think she goes with 5K to go on the span already, on the steepest section after a lead out of her team, and she tries to go from there. And maybe one of the two others, like Vollering and Cavalli, one of them might be dropped at the top of a span, but afterwards, there might still be one in the wheel, but on the Tourmalet, game over anyway. So slightly different view on how it will happen, but we both have the same result in mind, which is Van Vleuten destroying everybody on the stage based on what she's shown in 2022. At least it can be that by the time we reach the Tour de France, that we've got a very different mind on who will win the Tour de France. If, for example, Van Vleuten's first step is not there anymore by that time. But let's just hope that the top competition in GC gets a tiny bit closer. Then we at least have a battle for it. Because I want it. Okay.
Cavalli's okay. More likely than Vollering to me. Are they the same age? Cavalli's 24, took a big step up this year. Vollering is 25. They're not that different in age. But I think Cavalli could have shown something in the Tour de France Femmes this year, but she just crashed out. I think Cavalli's could do it. Unlikely, but could do it.
Okay. Do you think 50 kilometers before the Col d'Aspin is long for a Movistar to control it until d'Aspin starts?
I mean, Van Vleuten could literally put 8 minutes into the break on Tourmalet. So
that's true.
Or Aspin Tourmalet combo. So it would have to be someone like a Faulkner. But maybe I just like Faulkner to go for GC straight up. But Faulkner could do it, maybe, or Niamh Fisher-Black, but she'll be either riding for her own GC for White or Domestique. So, you know, again, it's what riders of sufficient quality to get in the break and hold off who won't have other motivations to just stay in the group behind. I think AVV, big win. Whether she's in yellow already at this point, I'm not so sure. Hopefully she's like 5 minutes behind and she has to go on Aspin. That would be good.
Yeah, even 10 minutes. You think that's too much?
Attacks in neutral. That's too much.
Hey, it's Van Vleuten. You never know at this point. But yeah. I'll try it back to you for the final stage, the time trial.
from Po to Po. This is 198 meters elevation in 22 kilometers. So it's a little bit rolling. Quick maths, that is. I'm trying to do quick maths. So it's not that quick. Slow maths. That's 9 meters elevation gain. So it's kind of similar to the men's TT this year in terms of elevation. There's a little hill in the middle, 2.3 Ks, 4.5%. And then the finish is 400 meters, 5.7%. It's always so mean when they finish TTs with a little kicker like that. they're pretty common actually in the ASO French races lately, like in the Dauphiné. This is what Ellen van Dijk has been asking for. She should be happy to see this. Perhaps the climbing she wouldn't like to see, but it's not like it's 7, 8% either. Yeah. Although I do think there's it's a bit steeper, the middle climb. It's that 4.5% includes a flatter couple of hundred meters at least at the end. So I think there could be some 6-7% sections at least on that climb, and so that's what makes it interesting, whether Van Vleuten, we got Van Vleuten, Royce, Van Dijk, Vollering, who else could win this TT?
Brown could podium, Royce could actually do well.
Faulkner could do well. Setups really fast.
Yeah. But when I look at this, I'm mainly thinking, why is this not closer to the start of this race? Because I understand that they put it at the end so that Van Vleuten can't gain an advantage on the other GC riders, because on paper, Van Vleuten is a better time trialist than a Cavalli, for example. With Vollering, it's sometimes close, but I'd argue Van Vleuten is still a better time trialist than Demi Vollering. And when I think that's true, there's the aspect of, I think this race is decided after the Tourmalet, and this time trial will be senseless when it comes to GC. Is that harsh?
Yeah, I don't really. Maybe if Cavalli and Vollering are close, 2-3 yeah. can change. Maybe if Grace Brown is sixth, she can leapfrog and Niamh Fisher-Black in fifth. Those sort of movements could happen. But if the race plays out as expected, yeah, like if Van Vleuten has a 90-second, 2-minute lead, it's unlikely that gets overhauled. Elisa Longaborghini, I mean, you don't see a lot of these riders do many time trials unless they peak for it at World Champs. Like, does... I'm trying to think.
I hear
like,
it.
Is Mulman... I know Mulman beat Van Vleuten on Tour de Romandie. It'd be interesting. We haven't really mentioned Mulman too much. I kind of think she drops Vollering on Tourmalet. And so how will her TT be at a new team versus the SD Works setup? I don't know. I think there could be changes. Changes to the top step, unlikely. Royser versus Van Dijk for the win. I would go with Van Dijk still. The world's course
this year. I'll go with Royser.
Okay.
It's far out anyway, so... By the time we reached that race, everybody forgot this podcast existed, hopefully. So, I think that's a good overview of the stages we had. I think we mentioned our takes on this so far. A run-in that's rather building up towards the final weekend. I think the only thing I can mention is that I'm really happy with it being backloaded at the Tourmalet at the end. I do still like it that big mountain stage is defining towards the end so that the big gaps are not made at the start of the race and the race is not decided too early. But on the other hand, there's also the aspect of the time trial after the Tourmalet. If the race runs as expected, as we mentioned, then we're kind of like, okay, is that time trial going to impact GC for the victory? Then it's less likely. But I'm glad there's a time trial. We need more time trials in World Tour cycling, so I really appreciate that inclusion. Do you have any like big conclusions? All out inspirational, motivational quotes based on this parkour, my favorite kangaroo?
I would say it's missing maybe on like stage 5 or 6. I did like the gravel stage last year, the Chemin Blanc stage. It's maybe missing a little bit of it. Maybe you could call it a gimmick, but just something unique about the parkour.
Like a double descent.
I don't want to kill anyone, but yeah, something like... maybe one of the finishes is pavé or something uphill. I don't know. Probably effectively they are, or narrow. No, it's fine. I think with the way until Van Vleuten retires, you're kind of hamstrung and you've got to build a parkour like this, or until someone's like Moolman or Cavalli or Vollering step up. What would happen if you had one of those Vuelta stages, or I don't know what race there was this year, where there's a 20-kilometer 6% climb at the start of the race, and then like
you wouldn't see it.
100 k's of flat afterwards.
Well, all the action would happen at the start. Van Vleuten would attack on the first climb, and we wouldn't see anything about that because the broadcast would start later than the climb. So, hey, what would happen? We wouldn't see it anyway.
Yeah, it'd be interesting because then Van Vleuten would have to basically pace 100 k's solo.
She did it last year, right? No, 2 years ago? The one where she first was behind because of the time trial instead of Tizzy Channel, a challenge, and then a few days later she was like, I'll take the time back anyway, and then she attacked on the first climb and took 3 minutes on everybody.
Yeah, that'd be, I mean, maybe they could do that. Probably wouldn't be that exciting. I don't know. I think I don't think there's too many for I think if Vibers wins more than two stages, then Trek, SD Works need to have a look at themselves and UAE, because she should not win more than two stages. The parkour is there. It's hard enough to put her under pressure. I do not want to see I'd be disappointed to see teams just bring her to the line once again.
Yeah. And it's similar to Van Vleuten. I would be disappointed that we don't see the other GC teams try something on the parkour that lies before the mountain stage. Because if they bet all out on the mountain stage, they're likely to end up losing. So I think that's on both fronts that we want to see teams that aren't necessarily the favorites anticipate to try and avoid the inevitable situation that the other sprinter or the other GC rider can win. And yeah, that's also my overall view on that. I think this is a pretty good parkour though. This is a parkour I'm like, this is a good parkour. Compared to when it comes to the men's parkour, I'm like, okay, it exists.
I think, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Like this year we had two mountain stages. We had Planche de Belfie and what was the one before? It was the Place de Vasse or Le Markstein one, yeah. I'm just looking at those results now. I think Le Boux has to be, will she still be young enough? Or have they changed it to under 25 for the white jersey, or is it U23? Can't remember. I think it's different. Yeah, it's different, isn't it? Persico, I'm just looking at riders that could step up. Ewers, I think, just got extended. I know she's 28, but she only joined Women's World Tour was racing Women's World Tour races in 21. She's someone she came fifth in Romandy, sixth on Tion 2000. Really, really like to see her take another step up. There's also this another rider, and this is a very late season result. She doesn't have much else, but a diminutive 21-year-old climber on the Roland Kogius Edelweiss squad, Petra Stiazny. She came fifth on Tion 2000, only 1:03 on a 17.5K, 6.6% climb to over 2,000 meters. So pretty similar to the Tourmalet, that climb. I know that Van Vleuten was not in top shape, I don't think, for that. Maybe I'm doing Moolman discredit, but
I think you're right.
I don't think she was. Look out for those riders too. As we said, Benji, just hoping someone like a Ewers, a Persico, Cavalli, Le Boux, Vinnie Fisher-Black, Music, all one of them or two of them or four of them step up. Imagine that would be awesome if we had like a proper battle on the climb.
Agreed. The best thing that could happen for this race is if SD Works says to Van der Breggen, well, let's take you away from the S role. Let's put you back on the bike. And arguably, if she's in the form of 2 years ago, she's a favorite for this parkour.
Yeah, because her time trial is pretty good. I mean, yeah. Not going to happen, though. But yeah, Van der Breggen. It's a shame. But, you know, it is what it is. I think things change quickly in cycling. I wouldn't be surprised if things have even changed by July next year. Yeah. to be honest. I think, yeah, like even Zygarde on Bike Exchange, I know she struggled on the descents, but for a pure mountaintop finish like this, don't be surprised to see her come in the top five or six as well. Maybe she steps up more, I don't know, on Tourmalet. But yeah, any last thoughts on the route, Benji?
Not really, just in general that I enjoy the parkour, that it's got that every single part of what I wanted for this, including the time trial, which is good. Backloaded parkour, Wibbs gets her chances, the versatile sprinters get their chances to beat Wibbs. Van Vleuten has her terrain, but the others have terrain where they can attack Van Vleuten, and the time trialists have their terrain as well. So I'm seeing everything there except for perhaps a cobble. Imagine if there's a pure cobble stage in this. That's for next year. Come on, ASO, you can do it.
Well, that's how you kill AV. Not kill. That's wrong. That's how you that's put AVV under a lot of pressure, because she, like, she crashed in Paris-Roubaix Femme, the first edition, and it was like, I'm not doing that again. Did she break her hip or something? So that's where SD works good. And ask, maybe it's missing a proper classics parkour. Maybe you need to have a word to your local councillor, Benji, to get them to pay for some starts and finishes up north in, that'd be interesting. Maybe that's how you can, because like on the Liège style parkour, which we do have in the Rodez stage, Van Vleuten's still like, still pretty good, just not far superior. Anyway, that's the route. We'll see what comes out next year. I'm sure there'll be new riders breaking through in the spring who will completely change the dimension of the race. And we'll be like, why aren't there more mountain stages? That's the hope, at least. Thanks to Zwift for supporting both the show and the race. And we'll see you with the Women's Awards shortly. Ciao.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.